You make no sense, you know. Out of all the things you could give me, you give me a tape recorder. No one's used those in hundreds of years. It's not like they were the peak of audio technology or anything. I can't even tell you what someone's breath smells like. Hell, why don't you just go a step further and give me a wax cylinder? Well, so what? I know a lot of podcasts use tape recorder songs long after they fell out of fashion. But this isn't a podcast. This is just some stupid driver talking to themselves so they don't die of boredom. I never cared much for podcasts back when they were a thing. Most of them just seemed to be friends talk about stuff. I got enough of that with overly chatty passengers. And I much preferred audiobooks. I checked out audio dramas once. There were so many horror podcasts. They weren't the worst thing in the world, but no thanks. Not my thing. It's pretty hard to find things scary when your entire existence balances on the whims of unseen entities. It's not so bad once you get used to it, but sometimes you have no idea what destiny's thinking. Weird things just happen and you have to put up with them. I came across this passenger once, Jamie. They wanted to go to the pool for swim meet, but I was to take them to the docks. Jamie was not a very talkative person, which was fine with me. I was in a bad mood and really didn't feel like chatting. And the only reason I ever do it is because I'm curious about my passengers. The taxi doesn't usually like to instantly tell me what's wrong with them or how I need to fix their lives. Yeah, I got to know some things about them, like name, destination, pronouns, favorite flavor of cheese. Was never able to figure out why that's relevant. But after I dropped them off, I'd never see them again, so talking to them was really my only chance. Nothing eventful happened during the drive. I just dropped Jamie off the docks and drove away. Later, I was driving down the highway, grumpily stewing with rage, when I found my next charge on the side of the road. I pulled over and was about to ask them if they wanted a ride when I froze. It was Jamie. That should have been impossible. I was on the other side of the city, and there was no way for them to have gotten here that quickly. Like, I didn't ask them what kind of stupid stunt they were pulling or if they got themselves stuck in something they weren't supposed to. I just asked them if they needed a ride. They wanted to go to the pool again. And the taxi told me I had to return to the docks. Weird things can happen to normal people. They don't have to do anything wrong. Sometimes they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time and reality starts splitting apart or something. Usually it just results in minor inconveniences like curdling their milk or making them forget things. But sometimes the consequences are a little more drastic and you die or something anticlimactic like that. I figured it was just another one of the universe's little glitches, so I gritted my teeth and drove them back to the docks. They looked a little confused, but they got out without causing an uproar. I figured that would be the last time I saw Jamie. I was wrong. I found them again in a fancy restaurant across town. And then again in a parking garage, movie theater, middle school gym, etc. The 11th time I found them, it was under a bridge. I was getting a little tired of seeing their stupid face. So I asked them if they recognized me. Time to see if maybe they were another one of Destiny's little playthings. Sorry, no. Do we know each other? They asked. We didn't. Not really. So I made up some lie about us going to high school together. That seemed to be an acceptable explanation. I was hoping they'd go on a tangent about what they've been doing since then, but they wanted to relive all those wistful, lovely times we've both had at attending, what did I call it? Platypus High School, right? A little school chock full of cute little quirks. I've never been to a high school. I haven't even been to school. I was barely educated when I was a kid. The only things I know about school is what I learned from teen movies, and well, those seem a little too far-fetched to be true. So I just made stuff up. And I'm starting to wonder if Jamie thought we were both in on some weird joke or something because they just accepted everything I said. So, this is apparently what goes on during a regular day at Platypus High School. Morning. The bus drops me off at the back of the school where the sun never shines and all the aspiring crooks hang out. I toss the bus driver a bit of my lunch as I step off so they don't sacrifice my firstborn to the Board of Education in 20 years. Then I scurry towards the back entrance, dodging bits of rock and peanut butter sandwiches the young crooks throw at kids who are different from them. If I make it into the school alive, I tell one of the hallway goblins where I want to go. The goblin will rip open the space-time continuum and I'll step through into my locker, hopefully in the right time period. Usually, tampering with the fabric of existence is risky, but it's worth it if you don't want to get swept up by the janitorial mammoths. I gather the supplies I'll need for the morning, and using a small blood sacrifice, I escape my locker. Then I head towards my first class, hoping it's still in the same place it was yesterday. First period. Science. This class can usually be found somewhere in the dungeons under the school. You get there by walking down the shady hallway where the gym teachers have their offices, and down a rickety set of steps that prophesies the time of your death. Many parent-teacher federations have accused science classes of dabbling in everything from witchcraft to the senseless slaughter of innocent animals. Both accusations are correct. The first 15 minutes of class are dedicated to instruction. Our teacher teaches us how the food chain works, or how to make things explode with laundry detergent, or how to calculate how fast a bird is going. Then our teacher pushes us into a shadowy pit where we have to defend ourselves from whatever horrifying monster they've trapped down there. By working together and using the skills we just learned, we must slay the beast and bring its corpse back to our teacher. In the last 5 minutes of class, we hurriedly cut open the monster and messily scrawl notes of its organs. We'll need to know everything about a monster's various body systems for the exam. Second period. English. Detailed maps cover the classroom walls, and dozens of small figurines lay scattered across a large table. We gather around it, and our teacher will get us started on the next step of our plan to overthrow the school and establish a communist regime. But there are always other English classes to worry about. They want to take over the school as much as we do. Worse, they think they can do better. So we plot, we prepare, and we try to incorporate classic literature into our war tactics. In the past, we've trapped people's souls into paintings. We've impersonated a kid's dead father to trick him into murdering his uncle. We've trapped kids in small rooms with a bunch of rats. But my personal favorite is when we took out an entire class by locking them in their classroom. We didn't even have to do anything. They established a pig-worshipping religion, which they then used to off each other. Too easy. It's when class ends that the real work begins. We are each assigned a task to do for tomorrow. Usually it's something like stealing a rival student's notes or eavesdropping on other English teachers' conversations. Although we have occasionally been known to instigate a kidnapping. For official homework, our teacher will assign us different parts of the manifesto to write. His pet word for them is essays. Third period. History and gym. They always like to test us in this class. The first test of the period always comes the moment we step into the changing rooms. We'd enter to find clothes strewn all over the floor. We have to quickly pick through them to assemble a period-appropriate costume for whatever we're studying. Then we gather into the gym where our teacher will tell us what moment in history we'll be reenacting. A revolution, an epic battle, or a bit of mythology if we're really lucky. They then hand out character sheets so we know who we are playing and what role we are. And then we start reenacting. Best case scenario, we have a ton of fun and nobody gets hurt. Worst case scenario, we get so into it we forget who we are and we have to go on a year-long quest to reclaim our identities. It's more of the last one than you think it is. Lunch. Lunch is normally nothing too eventful. Not unless you've been randomly selected as one of the candidates for the gauntlet. Otherwise, it's fighting the hockey jocks for dominance, cryptic prophecy competitions, and crying in a dark corner. Of course, everyone knows no actual eating takes place. Fourth period. Arbitrary second language. I forget. Did people get universal translator implants yet? I mean, I've been told this was a thing eventually, but it's hard for me to tell when that happened because being a driver means I automatically speak every language. Ugh, there's nothing here. Moving on. Fifth period. Math. Math takes place outside. And even though we're not supposed to leave the school grounds without written permission from the spine farmer, we do it anyway. Our teacher is an elderly but enthusiastic former pirate captain. Class will start with them handing out some pirate maps and asking us to solve for X. This means we either have to find buried treasure or bury some before the cops pin the latest bank robbery on them. Following the map usually takes us somewhere far outside the school. We can't bury treasure on the school grounds anymore because once a group of kids dug up the undead army, the principal was saving for later. The incident cost him years of work. So usually we have to find clever hiding spots around the town. Okay, I don't know how much of that really happens at public high schools, but for all I know, I was spot on. By the time we had finished our reminiscing, I had arrived back at the docks. Jamie, for the 11th time, looked a little confused, but got out anyway. I took a few steps away from the taxi, then turned back. "Would it be all right if I showed you something?" I asked. I don't know why, but I decided I wanted to know. Maybe I finally get to learn why there were 11 Jamies. So I got out and followed Jamie through the docks. Night had fallen over an hour ago, but I could see no moon. Couldn't see anyone skulking or moving equipment about in the dim street lamps, so for all I knew, we were alone. The only sounds came from lapping waves and our scuffing feet. I followed Jamie into a dark space between two shipping containers. It should have been pitch black, but there was a strange glow that didn't seem to be coming from anywhere specific. It was just bright enough for me to see the 10 other Jamies standing there, waiting.
"Why, hello there,"
they all said. The 11th Jamie joined them, and they all formed a large circle. They started humming and swaying. They grasped each other's hands, and they started glowing. Each of their forms folded into each other, becoming a blob of searing light. The light grew and grew until it reformed, and a giant Jamie smiled warmly down at me. I just arched an eyebrow. I've never done anything to warrant a smile that friendly. And then Jamie faded away, leaving me alone in the darkness. I don't have to understand everything the Destiny did to me. That much has been clear the moment I became a driver. I just have to trust that there's a reason for it. But sometimes the questions tug at me. Maybe if I'd cared enough to ask once in a while, I would know much more than I do now. But I guess if I knew everything, being stranded at the end would be a lot more boring then, wouldn't it? This episode of The Taxi at the Universe was written, edited, mixed, and performed by Bailey DeMerchant. To listen to more episodes of the show, visit spiritlive.ca or look us up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at Taxi at the End. Thank you so much for listening.